So then we got home, pulled in the driveway, and that's when the date went downhill.
Family man. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
It's going good, Scott. I mean, we've had a busy week. Life just feels really busy, but my kids are begging to start decorating for Christmas. And my wife's not really sure that she's ready for that yet, but they're still... they're still begging. So we may...
2020, what could go wrong?
Yeah. Not even to mention all the craziness is ramping up again.
Yeah.
Which is just making us crazy. You know, this is just crazy.
I wasn't going to mention it right out of the gate, but since you mentioned Christmas, there is a new Christmas movie this year that...
Oh, really?
I can't in good conscience really recommend to anyone, but I think it's going to be fun. There's a movie called The Fat Man. And it's Mel Gibson playing Santa Claus. And apparently he's not the jolliest of fellows. It's kind of like an action movie. He makes some deal with the U.S. military to help them with something. And anyway, it's like it looks a little bit like it's in the vein of Die Hard. So I'm curious.
Which is one of your favorite Christmas movies?
Oh, I don't know about that. It was fun, but I still have trouble calling it a Christmas movie, but it's fun.
Well, you know, I was getting so excited, and I don't know if they're going to, because Thanksgiving, you know, is different for everybody this year. Well, not for everybody, but it's just different. You know, our normal plans, we were planning to do something, but all my brother and sister-in-law's house that we were going to be at there, they have a wedding like the next weekend and they're just fearful that they'll get it, you know? And so we're trying to figure out what we're going to do, but I was super excited because I heard that The Croods number 2 is going to be out on that Thanksgiving weekend.
All right.
Now I'm like, oh man, they're probably going to close all the theaters and we're not going to be able to get in. And
you might have to get rid of some kids to have Thanksgiving.
I know.
Depending
it is
on what
true.
State you're in.
We can only gather. And so some of us are going to do it at 2 and others are going to do it later. So I know. And that's stupid, yes. stupid. I know it. But what are you going to do? Hey, I'm excited about co-authoring a new kid's book with a lady from Alabama, Scott, Rachel McRee. It's going to be like a collection of children's songs she's written. And I'm going to be the cartoonist author for this. So I'm really excited to be working on this project. Actually, I'm just kidding, Jeremy. I know Jeremy's listening. His wife told me I should say that just to see if she could get his heart to stop beating. And so I don't know if your heart stopped beating, Jeremy, but your sweet, sweet wife just wanted you to know how much she loved you and hope she got you just for that quick, quick second. But I love hearing from all the Family Man, and not very often from Family Man wives, but in fact, I got a... letter from, and I won't read his name because I don't really have his permission to share this story, but it's just a good story and it just feels so poignant that I just thought I'd read it.
I'm bummed now. You're not doing a children's book of songs?
I am not doing a children's book of songs where I am the cartoonist.
Sad.
So, sorry.
All right. Thanks. Merry Christmas. I'm out.
Not that I've, you know, ruled that out. but probably won't be. That's what it's always funny to me. People will come up to me, you know, along the way and they're like, oh, I just written a book and I just think you would be perfect to do the forward. And I'm like, really, what kind of book is it? And they'll say, and it'll be a lady and she'll go, oh, it's a book on healthy eating. And I'm like, do you even know who I am? You know, what are you kidding me? You know, like, no, that's not my genre. But this is my genre. Again, this letter from his dad, it said, hey, Todd, so last night my wife and I went on a date, sort of. we left the kids at home and they did some things. And then after that, they stopped at the grocery store for some ice cream that they were going to have with some dessert. So then we got home, pulled in the driveway, and that's when the date went downhill. Have you ever experienced one of those dates, Scott?
Oh, yes.
Boom.
Far too often.
This is my life. Not sure exactly how it all started, just like a man.
You said something, I'm guessing.
Exactly. Oh, sometimes you don't even have to say anything.
That's true.
But we ended up having a tough conversation in my car on the driveway where my wife told me I've been a lousy listener and how dismissive I was whenever she tried to tell me about her daily struggles or problems, you know, with the household. So there I was, mad at myself while she was in tears over how my actions had been hurting her. Just when I think I've got this whole family man thing figured out, he says, I'm reminded again that I'm not perfect and quite honestly, not even close. We went inside the house to reunite with our kids, and even though our issues weren't quite resolved yet, it was just a few minutes later, even before the dessert, that I was overcome with a new appreciation what the wife God has blessed me with. And I realized it's through these tough conversations where we really connect with each other. I want you to please tell me, he's begging, please tell me that this whole family, husband, father thing gets easier. Seems like the further along I get, the more I'm beginning to see I'm really just getting started. And that's by a family man. But, you know, and I wrote the guy back and I said, well, the good news, it just gets harder. So, you know, I'd like to say it gets easier, but it doesn't. But he is right in a couple areas. He's right, you know, that those really uncomfortable, terrible times are where we connect. We think it's all the fun stuff, and the fun stuff, you know, is fun and I love it. I like lots of it, but there's something about those tough conversations where we connect on a different level, you know, on a deeper level. And I'll tell you, I hate these conversations. In fact, you know, even as I was talking to my wife this morning, she was saying, you know, I just need to talk to somebody who empathizes with me because you don't ever empathize with me. You don't want to listen. And, you know, I'm defensive thinking, I listen all the time, you know, and I'm empathizing. See, I'm doing it right now. You know,
I've done that myself. You're not alone.
That's, you know, and that's what I just wanted all the dads to know, that you're not alone in these things, because I think our wives do often feel this way. Now, this husband was wise enough that he sat in the car and he did the conversation. But I just want to, I guess, encourage us dads, one, that we're not alone, that you know, we're all facing this and it does get harder. I mean, he told me how long they had been married and you know, but as your kids get older, the conversations get deeper, the exhaustion gets greater and we get stupider. and so it does get more intense.
So does anything good happen?
You die. That's the good part. No, yes, good stuff happens, but it does get harder. Maybe it doesn't get any, you know, where we figure it out. I keep thinking, oh, I figured it out now. And then on paper, it really works out real well. And I think, okay, the next time, this is how I'm going to respond. And I respond that way. And then I find myself out in the driveway and we're having one of those conversations that's going downhill.
I do think you get more gracious though. Somewhat. I mean, if you're
with each other.
Yeah. And perhaps more patient. I mean, some of the conversations are really difficult, but mm-hmm. I don't know if.
Go ahead. Give us hope, Scott.
Yeah. I've known some couples who are further along than my wife and I, and they seem to have found a way of being more peaceful towards each other and forgiving each other more quickly. Maybe. I don't know.
We need to get them on our show.
Yeah. If you're like that, call us.
Yeah. Well, I know some people though. You know, who will say, we never argue. You know, we just never. I mean, we had an argument early on in our marriage, but we just don't do that anymore. And honestly, I think, I mean, this is my perspective. I think it's because they're not very engaged. You know, I mean, I think there is some, like you said, maybe a mellowing out. And I don't know about your friends, Scott, but sometimes I think when your kids are gone, you do mellow out.
There's just less to fight about.
There is. I mean, you're not talking about raising kids. You're not talking about, you know, why did you let them do this? You know, what were you thinking? And, you know, life gets maybe not quite as hectic, because I know, like, right where we are, my wife feels overwhelmed by everything. You know, it just feels like, you know, and then you add Christmas on it and all the stuff that has to be done with that. We're just, I feel like we're moving 100 miles an hour. We've got, you know, basketball. The kids had three games this week. It's just ridiculous. And, you know, that's kind of new for us. And trying to get to those and doing other things that other people are asking of us, it just feels really full. But I'm going to guess, though, that when my wife feels that way, she needs me to listen. She needs me to talk. More listening than talking. And I told this dad, you know, when you have one of those moments, I think it's super important to bounce back quick. You know, because sometimes I think it's easy to just kind of be defensive and say, well, she's wrong, you know. But I think what, you know, what we should do is say, you're right. I've been doing a lousy job of that, but I'm going to work on that. You know, what would help you, honey? You know, would it help if I did this, or what would you like from me at those times? You know, and then remember it, you know, and do it, because probably you're going to get an opportunity right away after that to do the same thing. And, you know, if we immediately forget that, it looks like we didn't listen. We didn't care.
That's why I don't make any promises.
And I appreciate that you about Scott, you know, that you just keep your head low. Well, let me tell you about this other bad husband. Did you hear about Bob? He shot his wife. I'm looking pretty good now, aren't I, honey?
My wife's going to get on here one of these days and take over.
She's going to get on here and go, what are you talking about on there? Yeah, exactly. I'm very thankful my wife doesn't listen or care about what happens on this show. So anyway, don't give up, Dad. And, you know, I don't know. What do you do, Scott? Like, after you've had a discussion, how do you resolve it? Are you like one of those guys who just goes on? Do you ignore that big conversation? What do you do, Scott?
I tread very lightly and try to not make any waves.
Keep your head low.
We had a doozy of a conversation this summer, and I was the instigator, but it was one of those ones that was a total surprise. Mm-hmm. It just kind of came up out of nowhere, and we had to talk about some stuff that we had needed to talk about for a while, but it wasn't. Yeah. It was not easy.
Oh, I remember you talking about it.
And yeah, it was a rough couple days.
Yeah.
I tried to be very gentle and very calm and peaceful and prayed a lot, because I knew that I had done some damage and I needed I needed God's help in getting through it. So,
right. And allowing them to kind of heal or be, and some of those things take forever, really. I mean, you know, I was talking to a mom whose husband said some really, really harsh things. And she said, I just don't know if I can ever get past those. Mm. And, you know, the truth is sometimes we say harsh things, you know, in anger, mean things are said. You always do this. You never do this. And sometimes if we've said them, you know, it doesn't work if you go, I was just mad, I didn't mean it. You know, it's too late. It came out of your mouth, as opposed to just kind of owning it and apologizing for it. And then when that rises up again, you know, saying, yeah, I was a jerk. I'm sorry I said that. That was really bad.
I don't know if we were just somehow blessed, or if the teaching we got as young engaged or young marrieds really helped. I remember distinctly, though, getting some counsel from, maybe it was our pastor, but it might have just been an older couple talking to us, that basically went specifically into outlining what you don't do in an argument. Like, you just have certain standards you don't go past. Like, don't hit below the belt. Don't pull out anything that's, you know, that's really you're going to regret later.
Historical and things like that.
You know, don't stick to the issue. Don't start talking about their mother when you're in the middle of an argument about you know, whatever else. And
you've done that.
Don't ever mention the D word, divorce, especially in the middle of an argument. That's really not a good idea.
I thought you were going to say Democratic nomination, but nominee.
But that's okay. With my wife, that might be true. But I've had some bad moments in fights with her, but I, for the most part, I think I've stayed away from all of that. And
that's good.
Especially the sticking to the issue thing and not hitting below the belt. If you can, if you can manage to hold your temper enough to just try and stick to the issue and remember that you're on each other's team. We literally will say that to each other in the middle of a fight sometime.
That's a great thing.
Look, I'm on your side. I'm not against you. I didn't marry you because I hate you and want to fight with you. We can work this out. Like, that stuff helps. And it's not like it's been obviously anywhere near perfect, but ask my wife. You know? but that's
a really good thing. And I think it is both of those things that you mentioned at first. I think it is because you got good counsel, but I think, you know, God has enabled you to do that. Cause I know some husbands whose personality is a lot more volatile, or, you know, or even they're married to someone who doesn't feel those, you know, that just because of upbringing, you know, the battle is not about us. It's about me being right. Yeah. You know, and when you go into an argument that way, or you have a spouse who goes into it, it does make it a lot harder. You know,
and I've heard some of those conversations, either strangers in a parking lot somewhere, I hear them yelling at each other, or somebody I know, or you know, and it just comes out something, and I hear him say something or even her say something, and it's just, I'm like, ooh, in my head I'm thinking, I don't know how they get back from that one, because that's going to sting for a while.
Yeah, and they do, and they do. And again, I know there are guys listening who said those things. You know, I can remember thinking, you know, I'll never say anything like, oh, you're just like your mother, or just like whatever. But I think maybe once I have said that, you know, because you're into that desperate mode and you're grasping for anything, and you see that and you're not thinking through consequences, and then it comes out.
Well, rest assured, everyone who's listening, if you got my wife on here right now and asked her, I'm pretty sure she'd have a list of ways that I've violated all this stuff. I'm just forgetting it about
this
right
week.
Now.
Yeah. That's the good thing about you, Scott. You have a short-term memory.
Yes.
I mean, I have so heard guys say kind of like that. Oh yeah. You know, I've never done that. And the wife will go, you're kidding me, right? You said it yesterday. Oh yeah!
I now that you say that, I believe my wife has said exactly that before.
So all that Scott said is really good stuff. He just doesn't do it, you know. So
there are no good men. We just, some of us try really hard.
You know, and we delude ourselves into thinking we're good. You know, no, but you're so right, Scott. I mean, I think that's why I love gathering all these guys together and talking about this kind of stuff, because it just feels like, you know, we're all kind of in the same boat. And it's a good boat. I mean, it is a good boat. It's not always easy, but it's worth it, because it pays off hugely at the end. So keep having those conversations, you know, don't shy away from them, you know, because I'm the type who kind of thinks I'd like to avoid all those and live in Hallmark Christmas world. You know, and it's just taint the way it goes. So anyway, well, hey, Scott, we were talking right before, though, there's something we need to be praying about. The guys need to be praying. You were saying your dad's in the hospital.
Yeah, after we talked last week, I got news that my dad was going to the emergency room. It wasn't so much a giant emergency in that it was something that just happened all of a sudden. He's just been in bad health for a while, and it was getting to a point where things weren't going well. So the doctor finally said, take him to the ER. I don't know how much of the story everybody remembers. He had lung cancer, which miraculously they caught at stage one, which is very rare to do. That was about 5 years ago now. And he wasn't in great shape before then, and has pretty much just sat in his chair watching TV since then, and never really did the rehab he was supposed to do. And so things have started shutting down, and they're calling this an episode where it was his kidneys weren't doing well, but they're getting the numbers back to where they at least are passable. But he's still, I mean, he can barely walk across the room. And anyway, so they're looking at taking him to a rehab facility from there. He's been in the hospital since last Wednesday, and it's just a matter that, you know, he still wants to be in his house, and we're just not sure if that's going to work. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a long road between here and there if he's going to go home and be able to live there still, because he just needs too much help at this point.
That's hard. Well, what should we pray for?
Oh, wisdom for, especially for my sisters, because they're kind of spearheading the effort to help out. My one sister is really good at managing stuff like this, I guess. And my other sister lives right there, so they're kind of dealing with it. And just for calm and clarity on what to do.
Yeah.
It's really hard to see my dad. He's pretty depressed about the whole thing. And just wisdom and clarity and peace somehow.
Well, we'll pray for that at the end, before we sign off here, Scott. But dad's pray for that. Because, you know, I mean, it's not easy seeing your dad. Because we're not, we always want our dads to be strong and normal and ready, you know.
And, you know, it's weird for me. Like, my dad's been not in great shape, and he smoked up until about 6 months before he got diagnosed with lung cancer since he was a teenager, you know, so probably about 60 years. And he was overweight and, you know, pretty much as long as I can remember. And so, I mean, doctors have told him for decades that he needs to get in shape and quit smoking and all that stuff. And his dad died at age of 52. So I think I had kind of made my peace, and I think we all sort of had made at least come to the understanding that it could happen any day. You could just get that call. And since I was a teenager, I've thought that could happen. But the weird thing is, when it was starting to look like that might be happening this week, which thankfully it looks like that might not be happening this week, it's been weird, the moments where something will hit me just out of the blue and I have absolutely no control over the emotion that's coming over me. And I mean, that was just a new thing for me. I kind of figured something like that would happen, but still when it hits, it's just, wow, didn't know that was there, you know?
So, well, you know, again, because I think dads, you'll have the same power in your kids' lives. And that's an amazing thing. And, you know, I don't know, I think I mentioned on the show, and my sister has not, she didn't care who knows this, but her husband has left. And, you know, it's just so devastating to so many people, because dads leave huge holes in the lives, not just of their children, but in everyone around them. I know my brother-in-law met with my parents this past week, and they talked with him, but my mom was wise, and she showed him a couple things. She went up to our upstairs where all our we have lots of pictures. I mean, in my growing up, we had one wall in our house that was probably 20 feet long, you know, wall height, was entirely covered in pictures. I mean, there must be 150 family pictures on the wall, but upstairs are like wedding pictures and some early family pictures. And I already have one brother-in-law who left his family, and now a sister that we brought into our family later on, she's got remarried. So my mom took down their picture just because she didn't know what to do. But she showed my brother-in-law, who just left, and said she took him to the spot where the picture hung, and there was just a nail there. And she said, look at this, you know. And then she pointed out his pictures with his wife and with some of his little kids. And then she took him downstairs. And last year at Christmas, I think it was last year, one of the grandkids for Christmas gave my parents I don't know if you've ever seen this on Pinterest or some gift shop, where you take all the names in your family and you use Scrabble, the little squares that have letters on them.
Yeah.
And you take the Scrabble squares and you basically put all the names together. So, you know, it says Todd, and off the D that might say Debbie, and they're all connected. And she said, look where your name is to this, my brother-in-law, and said, I mean, you're connected to all these people. I mean, if we take your name off, none of it makes sense anymore. And I thought, man, that is a great picture of your role in your family, Dad. You know, if they take you out, none of it makes sense anymore. And maybe you've been having these really hard conversations with your wife for years, maybe a decade or two. And you're thinking, it would just be better if it was over. You know, that is the enemy talking. It is not better if it's over, because, you know, kids need their dads and wives need their husbands and brother-in-laws need their brother-in-laws. And we're all tied in together. And it only makes sense if we stay married. So you may be going through a hard time, Dad. I hope you know that you're not alone. Lots of dads are facing the same things you are. And you may think, well, yeah, but mine's way worse. Baloney. I've talked to ones that I talk to them all the time who have a story just like yours. And I'm rooting for you. We're all rooting for you. Your kids are rooting for you. Because, you know, these are kids who just want their dads and moms to be right. So take courage, dads. Well, hey, how about we pray at the end? Can I add one more thing to pray for? I have a niece named Sarah. And Sarah, we've prayed for her in the past. Sarah has Crohn's. She's had it really almost all her life. I think she probably got it as a pre-teenager. And I mean, they've taken out parts of her small intestines. She's multiple times. She's spent so many times in the hospital. You know, her father says, oh, you know, her pain tolerance is huge. He said, things that most people would be in the hospital right away in the emergency room, she just works it through at home because it's just so constant. Well, she was in the hospital for about 3 weeks, just a couple weeks ago, with pain, but they couldn't pinpoint it. They couldn't figure out why. It kind of went away. And now she just was readmitted last night. And so we're just praying that God would do a miracle and, you know, find the source of the pain and give the doctors wisdom. And, you know, of course, it's 10 times harder because we're in the COVID wackiness. And so her husband was allowed in later in her last day, but I don't know if he's allowed in. I don't know. And to face that all by yourself is just a really big thing. So how about we pray for those three things right now, and then we'll say goodbye. Father, and we thank you that we get to call you Father. You are a dad, and you care about all your children, and you care about Scott's dad. I pray, Father, that you would maybe use this to give him some extra time, and that this episode would help him to realize that maybe he has to do some things maybe differently. And I pray for his sisters that you would give them wisdom as they kind of take care of him and make decisions, just make their path clear. And I pray for my brother-in-law. I pray that you would be working in his heart, that you would drop the scales from his eyes, and that he would bring him to his senses, and that he would repent. And I pray that you would restore them. And I know my sister doesn't even see how that could be possible. And some of us looking on feel the same way, but I pray you would do something miraculous. And I pray for Sarah, and that you would give the doctors wisdom, that you would relieve the pain, and that they would know what was causing it. And Father, I ask, as only a child can ask their father, that you would heal her completely and do a miracle. We thank you that you can still be trusted. And we pray all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Scott, I'm heading out right now. I'm working on my son, Ike, and Carolyn's house. They bought the house across the street. I think I mentioned that. And today we're going to start framing in just a few minutes here. Start framing the big section of the house. It's a big job. I mean, there ain't nothing there. We have to add everything.
I don't even know what that means.
It's like magic.
It's like building a house from the ground up.
It's like building a house inside a house because the outside's already there.
Gotcha.
So we have to add everything. including, you know, the water, the sewer, the actually the sewer's there. We have to run all the electrical. We have to do all the insulation. We have to basically build a house. So on the inside of a house. So we begin that. We've already done one section that's drywalled in, and he's kind of working out of that. But now we're tackling the main part of the house, and that's going to be a little more tricky, but we're excited, ready to go. All the 2x4s are over there. So we begin today.
Wow.
So, hey, also, if you've been ordering your Christmas products or your Utadad daily calendar, we got a big stack of them here, but I've noticed that the stack is going down, and when the stack is gone, it's gone. We've got some good deals. Shipping is a little bit cheaper than it has been in the past, and we're thankful for that. We've got a new system, and it's working out pretty good. So check out the calendar. If you haven't gotten the game, you know, the game's not dirt cheap to ship, but it is cheaper the way we're doing it now. The Christmas game to Bethlehem, it's, if you're looking for something to do with your family, just to give your family some of that interactive fun, get the game. Maybe you've been talking about it for a while. There was one guy who left a review and said, you know, Todd's been pushing this for years. And I thought, I'm not a game person. I don't want it. But I finally caved. And he goes, it's been an awesome thing for our family. So maybe take the lead and get one of those. We got some other things maybe for your wife, or we've got Christmas stories in book form and in audio form. And we even have some Christmas crafts. We've done those in the past years. We didn't do as many this year because we thought we're just going to sell them and then be done. But if you'd like to do Advent nights, like we've talked about Advent nights, you can search that on our website, or just do something fun with your family. We've got some crafts that are kind of prepackaged, ready to go. Four different crafts in per kit. So if you had two or three kids, you'd get two or three craft kits, and that would give them one craft a week for those 4 weeks between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So, hey, we've talked about a lot of stuff. I hope you feel good about being on Team Family Man, because you're a part of something really, really big, and what you do matters. So have a great weekend, and don't forget, you to dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week. I am still working on my Christmas album. I added a couple more songs this week.
Okay.
I don't have the website up yet. But
well, you can't sell it if you don't have a website.
I know. We're working on it. Life's crazy here, man.
So. Tell me about it.